ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I'm Robbie Knox, and I'm the landlord of the Moon Underwater, a mystical place where guests create their dream pub. Hello, and welcome back to the Moon Underwater, where we are here with Matthew Crosby, creating his dream pub, and it is an absolute belter so far. Dan, before the break, you gave us an advert-based pub quiz.
Yeah.
So I'll now hand it over to you for the answers.
Thanks. Advertising slogans. So we're doing four this week in a break from tradition.
Love
that. Said I'm allowed to do extra questions.
If they're brief,
these are nice and brief.
They're perfect, yeah. Yep. No criticism.
Thank you. Question one. Which drink brand used the tagline, "It's the taste"? Any ideas?
I think I know this one.
Okay, Robbie, do you think you know?
I think it's Pepsi, but I don't know.
Oh, okay.
It suggests it almost certainly isn't.
Well, I had a very strong memory of a voice saying, "It's the taste."
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, who's saying that voice? Yeah. And it's got to be one of the PG Tips chimps, hasn't it?
Correct.
There we go. Yeah.
Am I thinking of Taste of a New Generation?
Yeah, I think you are. Yeah, very good. They started using the chimps in 1956. Peter Sellers and Bob Monkhouse did voices.
Fantastic.
Among the voices there.
What a gig.
But they last Chimps ad was in 2002. People started to think,
yeah, I think it's, doing this. It's one of those things, isn't it? It's a bit like Mr. Ed. They always used to say, to make the talking horse on Mr. Ed, they used to say, "Oh, we put peanut butter in his mouth."
Yeah.
And you look at it and you go, "No, you didn't. You had a fishing wire on his lip." And they were like, all of that kind of stuff. You know, like, sorry, he made it look like he was a talking horse.
Yeah.
It feels like dressing a chimp up in a costume, and even giving them a tea as delicious as PG Tips.
Yeah.
You know, it still feels pretty cruel, doesn't
it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they paid them much either.
They replaced him with Monkey, didn't they?
They did.
The sort of
which I sort of never
made the connection. They got rid of the chimps and brought in Monkey and Johnny
Vegas.
That
makes so much more sense. Yeah.
Question two: which advert featured a young girl and boy with dancing eyebrows?
I think I know this one.
I think I know this. Oh, do I know this?
I think Robbie's more confident, so we'll go with you first.
I'll just agree with him.
Yeah, exactly.
Go on. You give your answer, and I
think it's Cadbury's Dairy Milk.
Okay.
You see, I think it's chocolate as well, but I thought it might have been cream egg.
It's one for Robbie.
Oh,
Equalizer.
Congratulations. There you go.
Robbie. Wow.
Very good.
Tension.
Yeah. That was to Don't Stop the Rock by Freestyle. The boy, Bradley Ford, went on to be in Gulliver's Travels with Jack Black.
Oh, wow.
And the girl, Georgia Wake, was in, did some horrible histories and My Family and stuff.
I think I say he was disemboweled then.
Was disemboweled.
It's a documentary.
Okay, question three. Which advert featured a musical animation with lyrics that began, "The red car and the blue car had a race"?
Can I just quickly give it
you
a
were frying
yeah,
a
do, should, we do, should, we, should we do a Should we do a line each? So yep. It's "The red car and the blue car had a race.
All that
all red wants to do
is stuff his face.
He eats everything he sees, from
trucks
to prickly trees. But smart old Blue, he took the
Milky Way.
There we go. There we go.
Well, we got there.
Yeah.
I didn't know this. Apparently, that song was retitled "Home for Christmas Day," and made it into the charts at Christmas 1991.
Really?
Yeah.
You could just do anything in the 90s, couldn't you? Yeah. Like, that wouldn't get in the charts.
Well, as opposed to the Christmas number ones we get nowadays, like Lad Baby every single year, you know? Yeah. It's a better class of music, isn't it, in the modern era, isn't it?
Yeah. 19,328 listens on Spotify.
Huge time.
Great fact, okay, and fourth question. So it's one all. So this and
this is the decider, isn't it?
God. What was the question?
Which advert identified its product as the cream of Manchester?
I think I might know.
I think I know this one as well.
I think it's Boddington's.
It's Boddington's, yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
It's a draw.
Honourable.
Lovely stuff about that. It was such a successful ad campaign.
Melanie Sykes, wasn't it?
With the ice cream. It became the fourth highest selling bitter in the country and the highest selling canned bitter. This was in the 90s. There's a lovely quote from the Whitbread chief executive in 1995. He said, talking about how successful it had been, "It was very fortuitous that the brewery was in Manchester. To outsiders, Manchester is a very attractive place, known the world over for soccer."
I like that to outsiders. If you live there. Manchester's brilliant.
Known for soccer, art, music, and broadcasting. It would be difficult to have a cream of Wolverhampton, even though Banksy's beer is very good. People do not aspire to visit Wolverhampton. On the whole, they try to bypass it. All right, mate.
I think his wife has had an affair with someone from Wolverhampton, and he's now just trying to destroy it.
Tom and Ben from Pappy's are both from Wolverhampton, and I think even they would agree Manchester greater than Wolverhampton, surely.
Harsh, though. No, but didn't need to say that, did it?
It is a lovely place, really. We used to play the Slade Rooms, because obviously Slade are from Dave Hill's from Wolverhampton. It's a lovely place, but it's not the sort of cultural hub that Manchester is.
No.
It's a kind of canny thing, the cream of Manchester, isn't it? Because they're basically saying, you know what's the best bit of the beer? The head.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've got a... my sister now lives in the Northeast. She's married to a guy from Newcastle, live in Hexham. And when he goes and visits his dad and sort of they drink in those clubs, there's like a push button on the pints, because people would argue about, you know, like, have you ever seen this before? Like in the clubs, there's a push button rather than a tap on the pints, because people would argue about like how much of a head you were giving them. You couldn't have an argument then, or fill that up a bit more. You know, I want it filled to the top. So they were just like, wait, you push the button, out it comes. This is what you're getting.
Yeah.
But the idea that you could go, if it was like that much head, you'd be like, that's actually better.
Yeah. Thank you for giving more of the cream of Manchester.
Even more cream. The cream's the best bit, isn't it?
And you get to think of Melanie Sykes serving you from the...
from the ice cream van.
Well done. That was an excellent
quiz.
It
was a great quiz.
Well done, everyone. Everyone's we can all happy. Walk away with our heads held high.
Yes.
Matthew, you get two spirits in your Moon Underwater. What's your first choice?
Now, I'm stretching the term spirit to absolute breaking point here, because I've picked Space Doubt. Now, Space Doubt was an Alcopop that was available in about 1996, 97, and then was taken off the shelves. You know, it's quite nice to have lived through a sort of teen panic. I've lived through a few of them now. So obviously in the late 80s, early 90s, there was the Satanic Panic, when people thought they were like backwards messages in like a lot of the bands I used to really enjoy listening to. But the Alcopop Panic was a big one.
Yeah.
I don't know if you are of an age where you were
exact age for that. Yeah.
So I loved Alcopops as a kid. Obviously, you know, Bacardi Breezes. Yeah, but like, I wasn't drinking. I was drinking underage, but I was drinking these alcohols.
Yeah.
The reason they were banned was kids like me. But Spaced Out is one I particularly remember. I had...
I do not remember this. And it was quite hard. I haven't found even a picture of it online.
I found one, because I Googled it to think, am I remembering the name right? And I could only find one article from The Independent back in the day talking about... That's the only reference to it. I'm sure there's if I'd gone onto Reddit or something like that, there'd be some sort of, you know, subreddit all about it. But I remember we bought a big carrier bag of these, and I drank a bunch of them on the bus on the way to... I was playing in a band. So on the way to do a gig. And...
I love your stories are quite a lot of things happening on buses. KFC.
Tragic bus things.
I've lived my life on buses, you know. I tell you what, I didn't learn to drive until I was in my 30s. I think that's right. Yeah, I was well into my 30s. So I have spent a lot of time on buses.
Yeah. I was in the bus. That's an absolutely fine thing to do, to go on the bus. It's just the idea of someone coming up to you and saying, look at the state of you and you're eating your KFC and then drinking a carrier bag full of spaced out.
I was 17 at the time. This is that's not...
And also that's complex because buses only have doors that open on one side as well. Yeah. So you're well prepared for your car.
Basically, that's what I've done is I've turned my car into a bus that the passengers can't get out of. Yeah. I drank a load of these with the other members of the band. We went and did our gig, carried on drinking these. It was one of those things where we were not old enough to drink in the pubs we were playing in, and also couldn't afford to drink in the pubs we were playing in. So we'd go out into the car park and drink another spaced out of a rucksack and then go back in and, you know, play some more songs. But I had such a terrible night on it. Like the gig went fine, right? The gig I have got very happy memories of, but afterwards it was just that thing of not just being such an inexperienced drinker. I got really, really hammered. I ended up basically asking out a girl I'd liked for ages and her sort of effectively saying, she said maybe in a way that meant no, you know. Yeah. She's like, I tell you what, I'll tell you next week. And you go like, if you need deliberation time, the answer's no. And so I went back into the room. I'd just done a gig. I was watching the headline band. I started crying, and then my friend went out and said, oh, Crosby's in there crying, and the girl who had asked out was like, oh God, I've made him cry. She came in and was like, basically took pity on me. It was like, oh, you know, like, it's gonna be okay. Look, you know, like putting her arms around me, and I was crying and go, oh, but I really like all this kind of stuff. So I had such a bad, and then they banned Spaced Out.
Why did they ban it? What was the drink?
It was like an alcoholic lemonade, right. But it had like spacemen on the outside and aliens and stuff. And it looked like breakfast cereal. Right. It looked like American breakfast cereal on the outside. It was so specifically designed for kids. It was like, that's the reason they banned it. There was a bunch of other ones, but Spaced Out was the one I remember.
Barking Frog.
Wicked
Red and Vixen. They were all gone, taken off around the same time. Yeah.
And it was around the same time that, you know, it would have been within 6 months of me having my terrible night on it. Yeah. So I never got to right the wrongs of Spaced Out, you know? I feel it a little bit with the Edinburgh Festival. You want to end on a high, you know? Like, if you have a bad year, most people think, oh, well, just don't go to the Edinburgh Festival anymore. The comics mindset is, I've got to go back and have a good year.
Yeah.
And I feel like I haven't had my good run on Spaced Out, right?
Yeah.
I'm a more established drinker now. I'm a more confident drinker. I reckon I could have a night on Spaced Out where no one's crying.
Yeah.
Wow. Right? I think I could get through six bottles of Spaced Out and not embarrass myself. And I need that. I need the closure.
And in your pub, you'd like to give other people the opportunity to do this.
Oh, absolutely. And also, I want it to be full of underage drinkers. Of course I don't.
Yeah, no.
Don't drink until you're 18, guys. Don't do drugs and stay in school.
Yeah. Do you remember, and I mention this all the time on here, but I've not found anyone who remembers this, around that time, around the time of Hooch and Two Dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Very briefly, they sold alcoholic milk.
Oh, no.
Yes. Yeah.
And no, that, I don't remember that at all. Hard
there was,
milk.
There was one called Moo. I think it was.
Yeah, I remember. I think actually in my research for this, Moo was another one that was asked to either change its branding or change its chain.
They said to take it off until they give it a new name to make it less appealing to the under 18s.
Yeah.
But I don't know what that was.
I think I was all like, well, come on, Alka-Pops, everyone likes some of that. But I think when you are bringing out milk, it's that is appealing to kids because very few adults come just to have a nice pint of milk.
Well, it's the other thing, the other sort of big sort of totemistic figure that appeared in around the same time was the Big Lebowski, who drank White Russians.
Yes.
So that would have been around 1998, 99.
Yeah.
And so as a result, me and my pretentious friends started drinking White Russians. Mm. And I remember...
Belgos.
By that point, one of my friends ran a bar, like a classy bar in Bromley, near Bromley South Station. And so I got a call from him one night. I was having dinner with my family. He called the landline and said, oh, we're going to have a lock-in at the pub tonight and I'm going to be doing like my new take on the White Russian. Ooh. So I finished my, I was eating a plate of gammon. The reason I remember this is because I saw that gammon later on. Yeah. I've got a very keen memories of the gammon. And I went off there and we were drinking these white Russians. And he was like, instead of using milk, I use cream. It's not a million miles away from your Black Forest Gatto recipe, actually. Yeah. But so we were drinking like tumbler glasses of full cream with Kahlua and what is it? Kahlua and vodka? Is that a white Russian?
Maybe. We did ask this the other day, didn't we?
But anyway, it was a coffee liqueur and a hard spirit with full cream, and I had probably only about three or four of these, and oh god, I've never been so immediately sick in my life.
Yeah, vodka. Yeah.
For some reason, I don't feel like I need to revisit the my friend Alaric's special recipe white Russians to redress the wrongs of that night. But spaced out is one I really want to. So I can understand alcoholic milk. It makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Okay. Yeah. Well, there we go. Well, that's in there. What's your other spirit?
My other spirit is it's the Glenlivet. And basically I like drinking whiskey. I don't drink a lot of it. I don't drink it. I mean, I've got bottles of it at home. I don't drink it at home because I'm not like a hardened cop from the 70s. I think when I was growing up, I assumed that I would have a little bar in my house. Do either of you guys have a bar in your house?
I've got a shelf with lots of gin on it. I've got a unit with gin on it, but not an actual bar, no.
Yeah, I sort of assumed I'd have, at the very least, I'd have one of those big globes, flip-top globe things. Whenever I see people who've got those, I think, yeah, you've cracked life.
Yeah.
Especially if inside that globe you've got the sort of cut glass decanter.
Yep.
And I always thought, I'd be the kind of person who has a cut glass decanter of whiskey in my house. And I'm not that person at all.
I've got the gin. There's a cupboard that's got like our nice plates in the living room. A really nice sort of little cupboard type thing. And on top of that, there's all gins. And there is a cut glass decanter on there that I don't use, but just got from my mum.
Yeah, it's the sort of thing I feel like I should have had. The reason I picked the Glenlivet is because it's got the in front of it. Like it's a band.
Yes.
I just think it's a really it's not Glenlivet, it's the Glenlivet. And I just find it, I think there's something quite sort of funny and you know, as a pretentious drinker, I think it's the sort of thing I would, even though it's one you'd get in any Tesco or any Sainsbury's or whatever, I like the idea of that. Also, I'm very into picklebacks, and it's quite a good one to do with picklebacks. Has anyone ever picked a pickleback as their choice?
No.
Oh my goodness. Well, in which case then, the Glenlivet in my pub either comes with a little bit of water or a shot of pickle juice. So the way it works is the pickleback, you drink the whiskey first, shot it. It's normally a double whiskey, shot it, and then you do a double shot of pickle juice. And it sounds disgusting. I mean, it sounds like a sort of stag do prank.
Yeah.
But it's something about the way the flavours combine, it completely neutralises and even sweetens the taste of whiskey.
Oh, wow.
I imagine there are actual genuine whiskey fans screaming at their AirPods right now because this is a disgusting way to consume. But you know, you can do it. You can do a pickle jack with Jack Daniels or whatever.
They don't have to go to your pub.
They don't have to go to the pub. And you know what? You can have it with water if you want to have it with water. No one's forcing you to have a pickle back. Yeah. But the other night I was out with Ellis James, and he'd never had one before, and he couldn't believe it. He just kept using the phrase game changer. It's if it's one of those nights when you're drinking with the express purpose of getting drunk, it's a great way to get drunk. It's basically Alka-Pops because it doesn't taste you taste the whiskey for a second, but as soon as you've got the pickle juice inside, it tastes very, very sweet and almost fruity.
Does it work if you mix them together and drink it? Have you ever tried?
That's a really good question. If you stick them in a cocktail shaker, give them a good shake and chin that. I will investigate and report back.
Please do.
I don't know.
That would be much appreciated. We've been talking a bit recently in the sort of spin-off show behind the cellar door. Is that what it's called? No, Pub Notice Board, the other one. One of the spin-off shows that we do here at the Middle
Behind the
Water.
Cellar Door, you're not actually allowed to talk about, are you?
That's
a very, very high tier of the Patreon if you want to get behind this cellar door,
We've been discussing fictional pubs, and I was wondering if there's a pub from the world of comedy, for example, your most taverns or sort of things that you'd most like to go and have a drink with. And I appreciate I put you on the spot here.
From the world of comedy is an interesting one. Yeah. I mean it's not, this isn't comedy. This is going to sound pretentious as well, but Lucky Jim by Kingsley Amis. Always remember he was always nipping away from university functions to find a little country pub and drink a couple of pints. And I remember thinking there was something about the way that Kingsley Amis wrote about pubs that sounded incredibly cozy.
Yes.
And I remember thinking I'd love to be in a little country pub, you know, adjacent to academia, but crucially, I'm still bunking off. You know, it's like I'm at work because people think I'm there, but I'm not. I'm away in a pub. I've always thought that seemed very fun. What other places would I like to? Crikey!
Should we go through the pubs of comedy? There's
the great pubs of comedy. Yeah,
Nag's Head in Only Fools and Horses.
Yeah, of course, Falling Through the Bar.
Cheers, the Cheers Bar. Always on the first.
I always thought, you know, if you compare what Duff to me looked like a really enjoyable beer.
Mm. Yeah.
Whereas the beer they drank, and it probably was because they had to be, the beer they drank in Cheers seemed watery.
Yeah.
You know, the stuff they'd stick in front of Norm, you thought, what is this?
Yeah.
This feels, you know, when you drink a pint, you often get this with real ale and it tastes wet. Have you ever had that? Do you know, you drink a real ale and you're like, this tastes wet.
Yes. I think I know what you mean.
And I'm describing all liquids.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I mean, there are real ales which feel thin and therefore wet.
Mm. Oh,
it felt like...
This doesn't taste wet.
This doesn't taste wet, no. Yeah, I get what you mean, despite the fact... And weirdly, water doesn't taste wet because it's water. Yeah. But there are certain things. It's the expectation of what you should be getting compared with what you're actually getting.
My laptop tastes wet.
Your fritzing laptop is, but I would say, so that I never fancied the pints in Cheers. And again, they seem very generous with the head, don't they?
Yeah.
You'd often see those sort of poorly poured pints and think, what are you getting here?
Just want all the...
A lot of froth. The froth in a pint of Duff is above the line, isn't it?
Yes.
Rather than being
spilling out,
and you think, oh, that's the kind of, you know, that's froth that would be very, very fun to either blow off or suck in.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm every bit as unhappy with that sentence as you are.
But we'll just move on.
You know what I mean? Whereas the Cheers pints looked, grim.
What's the one in Family Guy?
Drunken Clam?
The Drunken Clam, which is that feels more like the kind of place where you'd be sort of drinking a bottle of hooch, doesn't it? It feels more like that. I always thought that Bernard Black in his bookshop with a bottle of wine, you know, that looked like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Being sort of a misanthropic bookshop owner. That would, of course, require me to have read a book in the last 25 years. But I know, it doesn't have to. Just need to sell them, don't I? Don't even need to do that, really.
Yeah. What's it like to know?
I like the idea. I mean, my wife is an avid reader, so our house is full of books. And I love the way that looks.
Reflected glory.
Yeah,
you,
it is. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
There was one, I can't remember what it was called, but Men Behaving Badly. There were lots of bits of there in the pub that always looked quite nice.
Yeah, and John Thompson was the landlord, wasn't it, in Men Behaving Badly. Is that right?
I can't remember. Was it quite an old bloke was the landlord?
Yeah.
Who was John Thompson the landlord in?
I don't know. We'll look that up.
I'm sure of it. Anyway, maybe I'm getting it wrong.
Is a pub quite a good location in comedy writing?
Well, it was Men Behaving Badly.
There we go. Well, Early Doors. We're forgetting the grapes in Early Doors.
Which
is one of the great sitcoms of all time. I think that's phenomenal. And that is every episode is what they call a bottle episode, I guess, because it's always contained in the pub. And in fact, one of the best episodes they do is the Big Boys Beano when they go off to the races for the day, and you see them having breakfast in the pub, the lights change, they come back all hammered, and then they have a few pints afterwards. And I think that's, yeah, I think a pub is a good location for a sitcom, but I think you'd be hard pushed. Do you remember earlier? Did you ever watch it?
I vaguely remember it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was on when I was, it was just after uni. So in fact, they did a live version of it at Hammersmith Apollo a few years ago, and because I used to watch it with my dad, I got tickets for myself and my dad to go and see the live version, and I got him two tickets hoping he would take me, and he did. And as we were going there, he was like, why are we going to see this? And I said, oh, this is because this is what we used to watch when I was back from university. We'd watch it together. And he was like, oh yeah, but I watch telly every night. You just happen to be there. And it was just like, for me was like, this is, you know, like, this is a bonding moment between me and my dad. And it's like, oh, I would have been watching the telly whether you were there or not. Yeah. And I don't
That's
see that.
That's crushing. People absolutely loved that, because I remember earlier this year, I went on a tour with a different podcast that I do around the country. And our tour manager, John, worked on Early Doors Live, and he had his jacket he was wearing, and people were always coming up to him going, oh my god, Early Doors Live.
It wasn't one of those shows that felt like, you know, it wasn't Little Britain in terms of like having catchphrases, but they'd all shout to the regiment, I wish I was there. And it was mad being in a room full of, you know, 3,000 people who are all shouting it back. You go, this doesn't feel like the kind of show, because it's small and contained, and, you know, no laugh track. It didn't feel like the sort of show, like Only Fools and Horses, you go, I can see why it's a massive institution, of course that's got a live show in the West End. This felt like it was a really odd experience. But yeah, I loved that. I thought it was brilliant.
Lovely choice. Very nice. Right, Dan, it is now time for a listener suggestion. Who have you been chatting to this week?
So I've been chatting to Rob this week.
Hello, Rob.
He's got a suggestion for you to put in your pub.
Okay.
But you don't have to accept it.
All right, let's have a listen.
You know, we've had probably an equal amount now, I think, of rejections and exceptions.
Early on, people were very polite and were just accepting pretty much everything. And now people can be quite vicious towards the listeners. And honestly, they deserve it.
Yeah.
Well, innocent until proven guilty for Rob for the moment.
Okay, let's hear what he has to say.
This is Rob, and I think Matthew's Pub should have the members of the celebrated Steely Dan tribute act, Nearly Dan, working behind the bar. That way Matthew would be able to request any song he likes. That or maybe an Advocar fountain.
Cheers and enjoy.
There's some that hedge their bets by saying one thing and they go, oh, I'm going to add
another. Maybe another thing as well. Yeah. Well, let's take them one by one.
Yes.
Let's start with his plan A.
Yes.
Which is the members of Nearly Dan. Now, I love Steely Dan, great bands.
Right.
I don't know if are you a Steely Dan fan?
No.
Because from the look, you would fit
in. Yeah, I can see.
You would not just at a gig, but actually on stage.
I feel I should get into them. Yeah,
I could definitely see you doing the Midnight Special in 1973.
I literally cannot think of a Steely Dan song.
So their big songs are "Ricky, Don't Lose That Number" or "Reeling in the Years." You might know "Reeling in the Years."
I quite probably would have listened.
But they're very much like they're one of those bands. A bit like the Beatles, who got to a point where they were dissatisfied with the live experience and started working in the studio and did some pretty amazing stuff, you know, sonically. But I just think they're phenomenal songwriters. I think, the two of them, Walter Becker, Donald Fagen, brilliant songwriters, fantastic musicians. And I've seen, sadly, I had tickets to see Steely Dan, and Walter Becker passed away just before. So I never got to see, you're never going to see the original lineup because the original didn't perform together after about 1973. But I got to see them perform a few times. I've seen them a few times. It's really, really exciting. I love them. But they kind of tend to sort of hug the lines of they did quite a hits show. And the thing about Steely Dan is, being an album band, you've got to turn to like the tribute acts. And I've been to see Nearly Dan. In fact, I'm going, what is it today? Monday? I'm going to go on Saturday. Going to go see them again. However, Rob, why are they working behind the bar?
Yeah.
Have them in the corner playing a set, surely.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you know, because what you don't want is for me to suddenly go, oh, I'd love to hear With a Gun from Pretzel Logic, but there's a rush on at the bar.
Mm. Yeah.
And half the staff are, you know. What you want is people to be able to order a drink while they're listening to the band.
Yeah. So you don't want to be either or.
Yeah, I'm going to...
Don't want them humming a song while they're pouring the pint that you're sort of can
you're tantalizingly close.
Yeah.
So I think I'll absolutely have Nearly Dan. I'll have Nearly Dan playing in the pub. I'll accept that. I won't have them working behind the bar. We'll have properly trained bar staff. Also, there's probably about 11 or 12 of them. That's just too many behind a typical bar, isn't it?
You're not going to be able to afford to pay all of those people.
No, no.
If they're there every night, all of them. I mean, quick service.
To be fair, though, if you've got... if you had Action... Maybe you get Action Steely Dan to play... Because it'll be so popular, then you'll need 11 people from Nearly Dan.
But could you have that? Is that fair? Is it fair to have the tribute band working so close to the band they're trying to emulate?
I think they'll be the first to admit, you know what? They'll be fans of Steely Dan. They'll be like, fair enough, this is...
I guess you could call the pub Beerly Dan.
Beerly Dan.
Yeah.
You could do. I'll tell you one thing that's if you're a Steely Dan fan, Spotify, it grinds my gears in a way that I feel like this is the forum to complain about it. Spotify can't delineate between, it won't delineate between bands that have got the same name. It won't know which one you like. So if you listen to your sort of Spotify release radar or your Spotify suggestions, it'll often be like, you like the band Devo, so we're going to play you some rapper with 800 listens a month who's also happens to be called Devo. Right. You realize there's a new wave band from the 80s called Devo. It'll often happen like that. But the worst thing is they'll send messages. They'll like push notifications to my phone going, a band you love are playing in your area. And the other day it says like Steely Dan are playing on Great Portland Street on Saturday. No, they're not. Nearly Dan are playing. Yeah. The other day it said, guess what? Fleetwood Mac are doing a gig in Chesham. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I would have heard about it by now.
Let's take a step back here. Christine McVie has passed away.
Yeah.
So that for a lot of people has put the kibosh on them ever getting together. Lindsay Buckingham and Stevie Nicks aren't talking. They've got Neil Finn from Crowded House playing even when Christine was alive. The chance of them getting back together and then thinking, where do we do our one gig of the year?
Chesham.
And I looked on this, and of course it's some sort of, I mean, I'm apparently a very good Fleetwood Mac tribute band, but come on Spotify, you are going to make a lot of, you know, the people who are into Fleetwood Mac and Steely Dan might not necessarily be the most digitally native people. They might not necessarily know their way around how these things work. And if you get a thing to your phone saying, click on this and you can get tickets to see Steely Dan in a tiny club on Great Portland Street on Saturday, you're going to do it. And then you're going to show up and go, hang on a sec.
Very disappointed.
Where's any of the original lineup? I know they changed the lineup a lot, but surely they're at least keeping Donald Fagen. Surely at least the main guy who is Steely Dan is still playing in the band. But anyway, that's one of those things where I've had that in my head for about a fortnight. And I know it's the sort of thing I would, 10 years ago, I would have complained to my partner about it. And she would have very patiently sat there and gone, okay, all right, that's fine. And now I know there's just no point. It's boring for her.
I thought you were going to say, now I know a podcast is going to come along at some point.
No, exactly. This is the great thing about podcasts. But I think this is the right podcast to do it on.
Yeah.
It's been brought up organically by Rob. Yeah. Avatar Fountain, that's the second one he wanted to do. Now, at Christmas time, that's when the Avatar tends to come out. We do, basically, we used to do Christmas gigs when we first started. Every December, we'd do a sort of Christmas special, Pappy's Christmas special, Pappy Christmas. And we would have bottles of Avocar on stage and we'd try and drink an entire bottle of Avocar during the course of this like hour-long show. And then in Edinburgh, we would do one show in our festival run that was like a charity special. And the idea is we would drink one or something more than one bottle of Avocar whilst we're performing the show. And it's become a drink that's like associated now with Pappy's. And in fact, we did another Christmas special last night, even though we're recording this in November, because Tom's having a baby, so we've got to do all our Christmas stuff early. And it's a drink I've got a real kind of fondness for. You can't go overboard on it. A bottle is too much, but a nice. Are you Avocar drinkers?
I've had it around Christmas.
I don't think I've had it even.
Yeah.
I mean, any glass bottle that's been on a shelf unrefrigerated in a supermarket for months and months and months, but still has the phrase made with real eggs on the outside. You think, oh, we've got to drink a bit of that.
Oh, wow.
I've got to play the salmonella roulette. Yeah, it's like an eggnog basically, right. But it's the alcoholic part of a snowball. So that and lemonade is a snowball. But yeah, I've drunk pints of it. I absolutely love it. It's very, very sweet, but it's also got that kind of nice bit of abrasion to the back of the throat that you think, oh, there is some booze in this.
Yeah. How did you find performing with drinking?
Well, I think, you know, you eat a big tea beforehand and quite a lot of the time, actually, sorry to ruin this for you, but you're slightly faking it.
Yeah.
You know, you can hold a bottle to your lips and, you know, make it seem like you're drinking a lot more than you are. There was one show we did at Edinburgh 2012, and we'd been nominated for the main award, but we'd lost it out to the brilliant Dr. Brown. He's fantastic, and the head of the panel was in our charity show, and so we were kind of really berating him and forcing him to drink Avocar, and I think I drank about a bottle and a half during the course of that show, and. You know, we at the end of the show, you know, waved and thanked everybody, and I sprinted to the loos and brought all of it up. So it's, you know, I think generally you always have better gigs when you're not hammered, and you always have better gigs when you're not trying to avoid being sick.
We did a tour show in Dublin early in the year, and Stevie, who did the other podcast with, opened up a can of Guinness or beer or whatever on stage, and then the crowd just started singing, getting to down it. So he ended up doing that. He ended up downing like at least four pints during the show.
Oh, mate.
But then later on this summer, we'd been asked to do a show at Kendall Calling Festival, and we thought we were being put in some tiny little tent or something, but they put us on like the second stage that Annie Mac was on that night sort of thing. Because of sort of numbers for it. And I couldn't get the others to sort of engage in planning what we were going to do exactly for us. And we really kind of need to do this. So it was literally, 2 hours before the show. I was like, what are we going to do? Because everyone's ignored all of my messages.
Yeah.
And Jack, we started going through it, and Jack's like, oh God, we should have thought of this before. We're like, yes, we should. And Stevie said, if it's going badly, I'll just open a can and I'll down it. okay. We were going, and it was an absolute nightmare. And every now and then, they'd go a little bit quiet, and I'd just hear at the corner out, just shh.
Yeah,
really like to drink with Stevie. And we walked off stage, and the stage manager just looked at Jack and just raised his eyes and went,
like, oh.
And Alfie did it as well. We were at the side. Alfie just turned around and goes, I honestly thought we were going to pull out some kind of magic. Yeah. I thought there was just something going to come out of the bag.
Sometimes it happens. Yeah. But it's good to have something in the back pocket. How soon after saying, you know, good evening, standing calling, were you hearing that first shh?
Fairly soon. I mean, I think Dan lost a bit of confidence early on and veered off of the script sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I think we might have finished about 5 minutes early or something like that. It's probably that enough, isn't it? Sort of thing, but
it's terrible. I've been on stage before where the audience starts chanting down it, and it's kind of impossible. Like, you know, it's sort of impossible to say no to it.
Yeah. Go, no, come on, lads, come on.
Yeah,
no,
yeah. I was at a gig. There was a notoriously bad gig, the Harper Adams College. It's an agricultural college in the Midlands. And it was myself and Andy Zaltzman doing a set. And it was one of those places that had a dentist chair, you know, like in the student union, you know, the tip back dentist chair thing. It had that going on. And they were obsessed with getting people to down pints. And Andy had driven, and he said, look, no, I'm not downing anything unless you've got a pint of coffee. And then, of course, someone goes off, comes back, pint of coffee, and he's got to drink a pint of coffee during his set. It was just, but the problem is, if you've got people, like, performers are inherently, you know, as performers, and crowd pleasers and needy people. Yeah. And you think, well, I've got this well-crafted material. These people should be delighted to see it. But if an entire room is chanting, do something, whether it's down it or get off, you've got to listen to the mob, haven't you?
Yeah.
You've got to listen to the masses. Give the people what they want.
If you have a suggestion for something that could go in a future pub, you can email me, robbie@moonunderpod.com, with your artistic vision. It's time now, Matthew, to put something into the pub jukebox, and you can put in one CD or mini disc of your choosing for everyone to enjoy. What would you like it to be?
Well, I've gone for a double album.
Lovely.
Money's worth.
And it's Now 27.
Wonderful.
Has anybody picked a Now compilation before?
We've had compilation albums before, but I don't know what...
I think we might. Let me look that up in my mind. Interesting choice, the Now 27.
Yeah, very keen. I'm trying to think what is on Now.
Yeah, well, I'm bringing it up here, so we've all got
can
the
tell you a few. I can record. Tell you a few. Wow. Ace of Base, the
all
song,
over this.
D-Ring, in... Things Can Only Get Better. Well, so that gives you the year, doesn't it? Because it's
so. Let me guess the year.
Yes,
from
go
these
on.
Songs. Twist and Shout. E70 is all right. 93, 94. I'm going to say.
Yeah, you're spot on.
Spot on.
Yeah. It's 94. It's March of 94. So I love music. I consider myself to be a music fan. I think I've got what I probably, think of as esoteric tastes, but, I like the kind of music that guys who wear plaid shirts likes, when Amazon came along, I would buy CDs on Amazon. It really ruined any, disavowed me of any notion that I was an individual.
Right.
Because you'd buy a Guided by Voices CD and it would say, people who bought this also bought Mr. Show on DVD and a Daniel Clowes graphic novel. And you go, oh yeah, that's my entire personality. Yeah. I actually had something going on here, and plaid shirts and frayed jeans. But I'm not going to do a thing, from doing making CDs to play at parties or from like DJing at friends' parties, you always think it's a chance to show off the breadth of your musical knowledge. It isn't. It's a chance to give people a good time. And it's a chance to give people songs that they don't have to love these songs, but they do have to kind of sort of know what they are. You don't want people sitting there Shazamming all night, and you don't want people sitting there going, what is this? Mm. Or if they're going, what is this? You can go, oh, it's that song that Phil Collins did for the Tarzan movie, which I think is also on Now 27. So it's kind of like, I think it's pretty inoffensive stuff. There's nothing there that's going to really upset people. But I think as the night goes on, you can imagine, Enigma's Return to Innocence. When that comes on and you've had three or four drinks, you're having a great night, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're throwing your arms into the air. You're singing along with you're making yourself unpopular.
Yeah.
It's got a few. It's because what they tended to do is they're not quite done it on this CD. Later into the 90s, there's kind of guitar music. Like this is around the time when guitar music was exploding. Like 94, we're talking about. Like Definitely Maybe would have been out. Part Life came out that year. So it's like Britpop is starting. So you've got a little kind of hint at the tail end of grunge. You've got Smashing Pumpkins, Disarm, and you've got Primal Scream Rocks. You've got a few. What they used to do was like the first CD was all pop. The second CD tended to be all kind of like your Shed Sevens and that kind of stuff. But they've got a few things that are a bit more rock. Meatloaf, Rock and Roll Dreams Come Through. It's crucially got a lot of bands you like, but not the song you like.
Yeah. So like a song from Right Said Fred's second album.
Yeah, Wonder Man. Yeah, yeah. Back when it was okay to like Right Said Fred, back in the good old days.
Yeah.
It's not Deeply Dippy. It's not I'm Too Sexy. It's Wonder Man, the song they did for the...
It's Vaccines Are Bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, Too Unlimited. There's Let Them Be Control
great
Your Body.
Songs on here. Credit to the Nation, Teenage Sensation.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
That was, they really did seem like, if you read The Melody Maker and The Enemy at that time, you thought they were going to be the biggest band in the world, and you Credit to the Nation. They went absolutely crazy.
And I know no other songs by them.
I mean, it's an interesting choice.
Thank
you.
Because
I will just say a couple of people chose a Now compilation. Sarah Millican, I don't know which one it was, but
right.
So now, and Joe Wilkinson chose volumes 1 to 4. So you're in, again, you're in great form. You're in great comedy company. That was pre. That was pre us.
He picked eight CDs. What kind of
pre-Premier League?
We've
You've got to step down on that kind of stuff.
But now 27 is actually one of the least well-sold albums in the entire series.
So it's a bit underground. It's a bit cool.
Yeah.
It's the first version of Neck Oil of the now. Exactly. You know,
it did go platinum, but almost all the others went either double, triple, or even quintuple platinum. And
I'm very happy with that.
This was 1994. The next one to only go single platinum was Now 82 in 2012.
Oh, wow. And people were pretty much giving up on CDs by that point, weren't they?
Yeah.
I've just realised I had this album.
There you go.
Because I remember Gin Blossom's Hey Jealousy going into Smashing Pumpkins' Disarm.
Oh, Hey Jealousy is a huge... I mean, it ends really, really strong, that CD. You've got Cranberry's Linger, Cornflake Girl by Tori Amos, Good as Gold, Stupid as Mud by the Beautiful South, Rock and Roll Dreams Come Through by Meatloaf, Primal Scream Rocks, Gin Blossom's Hey Jealousy, Smashing Pumpkins' Disarm. I mean, it's a bit of a downer. Disarm's like, you know, it's not a Today or Cherub Rock or one of those, but it's still some pretty huge bangers there. I think if I was in a pub and those songs got played in that order, I'd be delighted.
Yeah.
I'd be so happy. When I was on a stag do recently, we went into some of the people. It was the Saturday night, and I hadn't gone hard on the Friday night, so I still had a bit of fight in me. And I went out with maybe four or five of the other guys, and we found a rock pub. And I think if you're in a city you don't know, the rock pubs tend to be like the best place to go out and have a drink. They're always really, really friendly. So we went there and found this rock pub, and at first we're like, "Oh, is this going to be okay? Is it going to be all right?" And we realised that the barman was not just serving, but he was YouTube DJing. So like the screen behind him was his like desktop, and he was typing things into YouTube, and it was all like, you know, he was clearly into all the kind of same. So it was Nirvana, it was L7. At one point he played Violet by Hole, and I was like, this is. Yeah. That to me is a perfect night out. And the great thing was, it was a great way to DJ as well, because he'd type in Rage Against the Machine, you'd be like, we know he's going to play Rage Against the Machine next, but what's he going to play? What song's it going to be? And it was really so fun. And I think like that kind of thing, that's what you want. It's not necessarily the songs you've chosen yourself, but there's kind of something there for everyone.
I love that.
Who's our age?
Yes. Yeah. Everyone who, in my case, this album reminds me of doing my driving test.
Exactly, sums up exactly
where we are. Yeah. Brilliant.
Now, a bottle of Spaced Out in my hand. I'm listening to the Cranberries. It's like the 90s never ended.
Oh, I love it. I know even about, I appreciate this podcast is about 50 hours long, so we'll move on a second, but I was asked to DJ at Sheffield Lidmill a couple of weekends ago, and it's a real battle.
I love that venue.
You want to, it's so good.
Yeah.
Between, I think, I want to teach some of the younger kids this, but also I want them to enjoy it.
Yeah.
So I think, well, I'll make you listen to a bit of Weezer, but then we'll go and we'll do some Sam Fender.
Of course. Yeah, that's the thing that tends to happen, isn't it? You go to indie discos and there gets to a point when you're like, oh no, I only know half the songs they're playing. Yeah. I used to know all of these, you know. I'm the guy who gets really excited when they play Suede Head by Morrissey and pretending I've got glad to throw them around my head, you know. And everyone's like, oh, who's the old guy? Who's the old guy that's throwing himself around the room to
this charming
man?
I was chatting to the guy from the venue, and it was like, and you sort of forget, because they say, oh yeah, they love all Britpop classics and all this go here. So I think I might play a bit of Ash. They're going, who are Ash?
No.
Like, yeah, it's things like this. It's like you don't know which bands are.
So Girl from Mars hasn't cut through. It's not.
Not cut through. Black Grape they weren't aware of.
Oh no.
Oh, don't worry. I played it.
Oh, you've got, what are you going for? Reverend Black Grape?
I think I went for Reverend Black Grape. Or maybe it was.
Is Kelly's Heroes.
No, it wasn't. It was the other one. It was, I think I played In the Name of the Father.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's huge. Yeah, great. Yeah.
Anyway, I appreciate everyone has to go.
Well, next time you're there, I'll travel with you.
We'll do it.
We'll have a wonderful night.
We'll start up a DJing team.
Yeah.
Love it. My first post-divorce pint, the gin I had in Hull, my nan's homemade buckfast, the rum I drank with Liz Hurley, the lager I stole from the pigeon detectives. It's now time for a drinking time, and this is where the Moon Underwater will transport you through the very fabric of time to an occasion from your past where you can have whatever drink you were having then with whoever or whatever thing was happening at the time. You get the concept.
Okay. Now, I feel like I went a bit too hard on Joe Wilkinson for picking four double CDs, because I'm picking 10 drinks.
Okay.
But I, this is the first term of university back in Canterbury. Me and a group of friends used to go and do the Monday Club. So the Monday Club, I think they still do it. In fact, they may have even brought it back. But it was 10 drinks. Every drink was 99p. So you'd go with a tenner. And the idea was you'd try and get through the 10 drinks. God. Now, let me just say now, that is not the way you should drink these days. It was a different time. I was a different person.
It's a different, much more fun time. It was,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I physically wouldn't be able to do that now, but I remember that time. And there's I've got a photo of me, you know, very glassy eyed with the empty receptacles all around the table, because I'd done the full 10. I was trying, I've made a list here. I was trying to remember what the 10 were. It was red wine, small red wine, small white wine. And it was, that's all it was. I mean, no idea. Yeah, you know, I don't think it was People de Pinay and Benjamin Darno's finest. A bottle of Beck's, a bottle of Budweiser, Smirnoff Ice, Bacardi Breezer, a pint of John Smith's.
Oh, you properly mixed it up.
Oh, yeah,
You didn't think I'll have 10 different beers.
I thought these were going to be small glasses, not full-on bottles.
No. Yeah, it was a pint of Carling. it wasn't great. A measure of whiskey. And then this one, we tried to do it as our last one, but it depended on whether or not they turned off the machine. But the 10th one was a latte. So going back to our idea of alcoholic milk again, isn't it? But if you could do the 10, then that was the thing. And crucially, that's a tenner.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a great night out.
Pints now, you know, a pint of John Smith's nowadays would cost you close to a tenner in some London pubs. So that was, I've got very, very fond memories of, we'd all go down, we'd draw out our £10 note and go, that's all we're going to need. Yeah. That's our night.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you go out and draw another tenner and go to the club afterwards. Yeah. But if I could go
on for a kebab.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If I could go back to that time, I remember it as being an incredibly carefree time, because, it was the first year of university. Didn't really count. No. I've just got the memory of, did you have to get like 48%? There was like a number you had to get. And they're like, if you get 48%, we'll keep you on for the second year. And so everyone was like, oh, I'll get 48. Yeah, I can get 48%.
Yeah.
So it didn't count. Didn't go towards your final grade.
That was mad.
It's mad.
When I found that out, I was like, why have I been going to these lectures?
Yeah. Why not make it a 2-year course? Because it's not as much fun to do. Yeah. You know, it's been 3. So it was. I remember it being a very carefree time. So many of the people I made friends with then, I'm still friends with now. So I'd love to go back with my metabolism. Because I think I used to go home. I mean, I'd go out to the club and I'd have a few, you know. This was a real pub. You know, these were bottles. So we were drinking real drinks. I'd go and have some watered down spirits and all that at the club, go and have a chicken kebab and then go to bed with a glass of squash, which I'd wake up in the middle of the night and drink. And as far as I can remember, that was set me right.
Yeah.
If I had a Ribena at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m., I would wake up the next morning and go, okay, well,
go again,
Tuesday
go
morning, let's go to Tuesday Club.
Yeah, I remember at uni, when we were going out to the LCR, Dan and I went to UEA in Norwich together, and when we were going out to the LCR disco on a Thursday night, I'd just be listening to music in my room. I would drink on my own. Before I went downstairs, I would drink an entire bottle of wine.
Yeah.
As the base level to then start drinking with other people.
Yeah, yeah. And there was
I'm doing that now, I'd die.
I'd die, yeah, yeah. I'd want to go immediately to bed. If I was in my room, I would stay in my room and I would burst into tears.
Yeah.
I remember being late one night to meet my friends in the pub. And it's because I was, I had a six pack of Stella and Jimmy Eat World's Bleed American had just come out. And and I was just dancing and drinking to that. And I'm sorry, I'm late, but Bleed American's just come out. And I'm not made of stone, am I?
Yeah, yeah.
Like the idea of that kind of pre-gaming.
Yeah.
Also, the milk thing's reminded me again of the pre-gaming when I was very little, you know, when I was like 14, 15 going out to a pub. The pre-gaming was done. I suppose it was done for the same reason at uni, but it was for reasons of like economics. Mm. But when we were little kids, all alcohol tasted gross to us. So I remember getting on the bus again. A lot of drinking on buses. I'm like getting on the bus, and my friend Peter was on the bus, and he passed me a sort of 2-liter bottle, and I said, "What's this?" And he said, "It's vodka, milk, and a crunchy bar."
Oh,
and he just ground up a crunchy bar in like a pestle and mortar and poured it in. He's like, "Well, we like milk because we're children. We shouldn't be drinking. Yeah. We like crunchy bars, but we don't like vodka. So if we stick two good things in..."
Brilliant. That's kind of brilliant.
It's kind of brilliant, yeah. And we drank this... we were passing it around. All of us were drinking it on the bus. I would say... It did work. You know, work is a broad church, isn't it? It worked.
Yeah.
You know, we were all hammered. But I'd say one of the drinks you don't want to share a receptacle is milk. Yeah. You know, there's something about... there's a lot of give and take when you're drinking a glass of milk. Milk should be very much, "This is my milk. I'm drinking this milk. Yeah. I'm not sharing it." You know, it was one of the worst things you could do at home was, has someone been drinking out of the milk that's the family milk? That, you know, drinking it out and putting it back in the fridge was always a bad thing at home. So, yeah, but it got us drunk.
Yeah.
But that kind of pre-gaming ingenuity, I sort of miss that. I mean, I don't miss it, but I miss being that age when you can do that and go, yeah.
I love the thinking behind it.
Yeah, what do we like? We like milk, we like chocolate bars, put those in first, then we won't taste the vodka.
It's now time for us to find out our guest's dream pub companion, but that is only for those of you who invest in the Moon Underwater Patreon. If you want to find out more, you can subscribe at moonunderpod.com. For the rest of you, we'll be back after this brief ad break.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome back to all the non-patron people. And a lovely answer there from Matthew for his dream pub companions, plural. Oh, mysterious.
A little teaser. Yeah, why not? Get on the Patreon, guys. Come on. You're missing out.
Get involved.
You are barred.
It is now time to bar something. We've put a lot of things in the pub. Now it's time to turn something away. So what would you like to bar from your pub?
Now, I know you've said you get tellies a lot, don't you? You get tellies.
People have strong views on television and sports
screens,
and pubs.
Yeah. I'm not so bothered about that. The only thing that does bother me when it comes to the telly is when it's tuned to some music television and it's not the music that's being played. It drives me mad.
Yeah. Oh, right, yeah.
You know, when they're playing something fantastic like Now 27, but they're also showing, MTV... Why?
Why? That is annoying. Yeah,
you know, I appreciate there's probably some sort of licensing thing that what you're playing off the telly and all this, but then put something else on.
Yeah.
You know.
Homes Under the Hammer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want, the, you know, Shaka Demon some pliers while you're watching, you know, Dion Dublin walking around showing you where the bedroom is. But yeah, so I've not done that. This is slightly, I would say, slightly twisting the rules, but I would say I would ban a cap on the amount of gravy you get with a roast. So I would have bottomless gravy on a roast, especially as a veggie. The thing, like, there are plenty of good veggie roasts out there, but they're not, you know, you don't get them in every pub. And the saving grace of a dry veggie roast is the gravy.
Mm.
But it'll often arrive in the smallest little, it'll be like the size of one of those jam jars you get at a breakfast buffet in a hotel. And you're like, what am I going to do with this?
Yeah.
You know? And then you say, oh, could I have some more gravy? And they go, oh, sorry, that's the gravy. That's the veggie gravy you get. You know, that comes with it.
Yeah,
and you think,
bad.
Come on. You want to say to the person, I know it's not you who's made the rules, but you've had gravy at home.
Yeah.
How much are you putting on your roast at home?
Yeah.
You're not putting a tiny little thimbleful, are you? You're putting half the boat in.
And if you're providing that amount of gravy, you need more soft and succulent stuffing.
Absolutely, yeah.
I don't want to. That's all hard. That's going to be just soaking.
I don't want to have to pour my Guinness ear over this just to get a little bit of moisture into
it. I will.
You know, yeah, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I will do it. So I feel like that is something that that needs to happen.
And you drank all your KFC gravy on the bus over.
Got the bus over in tears.
Yeah,
yeah.
Use that.
Yeah. I drank as much as I could before the man shamed me and had to throw it out the window in disgust at him and myself.
And then he went, hang on a minute, are you drinking milk, vodka, and crunchy?
Yeah. I just want to sit here and drink 3 pints of gravy with my pint of crunchy milk vodka. Is that too much to ask?
I'm a human being just like you. If you cut me, do I not bleed? Admittedly, I do bleed crunchy bar, but that's a separate issue. Yeah. But yeah, no, I was in a pub. I was in a pub a few years ago now, and my friend didn't want a dessert. And so he asked for, he said, could I have a pint of mash? And he'd had a roast already. So can I have a pint of mash and a pint of gravy? And they did it for him.
A pint of mash?
Yeah. And he was like, I enjoyed the mash so much. He said, whatever it costs, I'll pay whatever it costs. But fill a pint glass with mash, fill a pint glass with gravy, and that'll be my dessert. So he made it effectively like, I guess a sort of savoury sundae. He made for himself.
How's he having that? You're doing like a spoon of mash, Clark?
A spoon of mash, nice big scoop, a dunk, and then into the gob, and then he drank the rest.
Drank the gravy
once it was over. And I respect that pub because they're the kind of pub that doesn't mind customers walking in and seeing a guy eating mash out of a pint glass.
Yeah.
You know,
well, there you go. You can serve the roast. These will come with a pint glass of gravy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Food in a pint glass, I'm a big fan of.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a pint of prawns?
Yeah, I was just thinking that. That's the only food that comes in pints.
Yeah, a nice pint of prawns. I really like. In fact, I was in a pub this weekend, actually on Friday night. I was in the Pavilion in Sydenham. I don't know if you've ever been.
I live in Forest Hill.
It's around your way. And it really is the kind of pub that's like, it's like walking into a pub in Sydenham in the 80s without the violence. In fact, actually, well, I say without the violence.
A guy did
accost me outside and pinned me up against the door with his arm across my throat. But he wanted to show me a short film he'd made about how much he loves living in Sydenham. So it's that kind of thing.
Okay.
There was violence, but he's an aspiring filmmaker, and he had made a very, very good film.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is something that I haven't seen in pubs for absolutely years. The seafood man came round.
Oh yeah.
And it's what a treat to have. I mean, I didn't buy a pot of cockles, but plenty of people did. But to have some cockles and vinegar about 10 at night after you've had a few pints is great. And I see
that
as
to come
back. The pint of prawns very much in that kind of world. I know we haven't really picked foods, but definitely I like the idea of the Winkleman coming around with some crayfish
for
you.
You can include that in the pub.
Absolutely. There's a pub on along the Thames, not far from the O2, as if you're going along towards the, what do you call it, Thames Barrier.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of thing. Somewhere in that area, there's a pub on the Thames there that has a seafood thing that might be called either the Winkleman or the Cockleman or something like that, permanently there. So you can just go get a pint, sit outside, get some cockles.
Yeah.
Eat those with it. Lovely.
Yeah. It's one of those things, it feels odd. We, you know, you talk about pairings. Yeah. You think, oh, I just had, you know, 5 pints of Heineken. What do I really fancy? But cockles is often the answer.
Yeah, cockles is always the answer to almost any question.
But yeah, gravy, no limit.
Yeah.
You know, bottomless gravy.
With that. Fine.
Fabulous.
Drink up, please. It's time. Matthew, coming to the end of your time here at the Moon Underwater, you'll probably be delighted to know after 9 hours.
it's been a lock-in.
It's very much a lock-in territory. If people have enjoyed this and they want more of you in their life, what should they do?
Well, you can listen to Radio X on a Sunday morning. I'm on with Ed Gamble from 8 till 10 every Sunday morning. And there's also a podcast of that if you're not willing to get up when we do, which is fair enough. It's a Sunday morning. It's very early. I also do a podcast with Pappies, which is called Pappies Flatshare. And that's available wherever you get your podcasts. And follow me on Instagram.
Wonderful. Amazing. That's very good. Okay, before we go, we do have to do the most important thing, which is name this magical pub. What are we going to call it?
Now, I was thinking initially of calling it Pappies Fun Pub. Because when we started Pappies, we were called Pappies Fun Club. And I thought, I'll call it Pappies Fun Pub. But then I thought, can I really, you know, I already get accused by the other two of like railroading them with my ideas and go, well, this is what we're doing, guys. You know, like, so I feel like...
starting a pub.
I feel like starting a pub where I've made all the decisions and they've made none of them isn't fair. But I'm going to pay tribute to Tom and Ben and I'm going to call it a pub-a-dub-dub. Right. And the little sort of swinging sign, hand painted swinging sign, is going to be the three members of Pappies as a butcher, a baker and a candlestick maker in a bathtub. And so that'll be the picture. I'll never explain it. But that's what it'll be. And I think, you know, we can have charcuterie plates and good bread. And I don't mind it being the kind of pub where you do candlestick making on a Wednesday night, you know, on a quiet night, something like this. And then twice a month, we'll do a reggae and dub night. So it'll be a dub at the pub a dub dub.
Yeah. Dub club at the pub a dub.
Dub club at the pub a dub dub. Yeah.
Okay. Fabulous. Dan, before Matthew goes, can you just run through what he's created today?
Yes. So draft choices were neck oil and Guinness 0%, which we've enjoyed thanks to the bell. Bottle choices, Picpoul de Pinay.
Delicious.
Pinay?
Picpoul de Pinay. I think just it's your excuse to put on the most outrageous French accent you want.
Yeah. Picpoul de Pinay.
Lean into it.
And anything by Benjamin Dandreau.
Benjamin Dandreau.
But specifically Minervois 2020.
Minervois 2020.
Van.
It's where it is Van, isn't it? Yeah. The van from Van. Yeah.
So you're going to have a van from Van Van. The van from Van Van. At the dub club.
At the rubber dub. Pub a dub dub. Yes, that's right.
Spirit choices. The Alcopop, Spaced Out, and the Glenlivet.
Bring it back.
Yeah,
bring it back. Legalise it.
You have kind of accepted Rob's listener suggestion of... So what did you go for in the end?
I think we've got the real Steely Dan playing there.
And Nearly Dan will be behind the bar, as he suggested. So you've accepted it.
They're there to back up, yeah.
Okay. Your jukebox choice was Now 27, one of the least popular Now albums.
Currently, yes. You know.
Your drinking time was the 10 drinks for 99p each at Canterbury University.
Stretching the rules to breaking point Yeah.
You barred a cap on gravy.
Yeah.
And your pub name is a pub-a-dub-dub.
Yes, that's me.
Wonderful. That is time for the end of the podcast. Matthew, thank you so much. It's been so much fun.
This has been a real delight. Thank you so much. I've had a great time.
It's fabulous. I didn't know how much gravy and buses played in your life until today.
It turns out,
we've all learned a lot.
This is it.
Thank you very much.
Bury me in a bus full of gravy.
I'll just leave on that. We'll be right back.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.